Tonight we're going to continue our study regarding prayer, and we had just got started last week talking about the part of prayer that deals with petitions or asking God to help us supply needs that we might have. So, I mean, a petition is basically something that is a seeking or an asking, someone who's in need of God's help for whatever the issue is. If you look in Philippians 4 and verse 6, he tells us here, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So God tells us that He wants us to take our anxieties to Him. He wants us to take our desires or our needs to Him. So how do we overcome anxiety, worry? By depending on God. I mean, that's how we do it. And depending on God is not just something we do in our prayer, but it's when we strive to do God's will. We're depending on God's word to direct us in how we live our lives. We put our faith in that we're in God's hands and that He is going to do what's best for us. So we don't need to be anxious. If you look in John chapter 16, verse 24, and we touched on these last time, but I think this is a good way for us to get our study started tonight. He says, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." And again, he was talking to his apostles at that time. But the key to this is asking according to God's will, and then also understanding that sometimes maybe we ask for things that we don't really need, or that God has other things that are more needful to us, and we'll get into that. Like we talked about last time, and we're going to get started this evening, we'll kind of divide this up into two sections. One, praying for physical blessings. Two, praying for spiritual blessings. And obviously we know that the spiritual blessings trump those of the physical. And so a lot of times, and we mentioned an example last week, and we'll mention it again, sometimes the thing that we ask for as far as physical blessings might impede our spiritual growth, or might impede us spiritually in some way, and God might say no. And we talked about the fact that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God, take this thorn away from me. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And there was a reason for that, so that he might not get proud. So God had a reason for saying no. It's not that God wants us to suffer or anything of that nature, but sometimes there's certain things that we learn from going through difficult times. Go ahead, Bernice.
I find that when you're praying, ask for strength to accept the outcome of your prayer. It may not turn out the way you're asking for it, but know that with God on your side, you'll be okay with the outcome. I have been faced with that.
Exactly. So, and we have to know and keep this. I think the broad truth in mind is that all things work for the good of the person who loves God.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we've been promised. And so, you know, we see all these people who were godly in the Bible. And, I mean, think about Joseph. When he was put in jail, Potiphar puts him in jail. I guarantee you that he was asking, God, get me out of this. But there was a reason, in his providence, he used Joseph to accomplish a lot of things for the nation of Israel later on. So sometimes there's things going on that maybe we don't understand exactly, and we have to trust God. I think the one that we just mentioned just a second ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I think this deals with the thorn in the flesh. And again, if you look in verse 7, he said, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh." So, I mean, Paul had been, I mean, think about it. I mean, Paul had literally been talked to by Jesus, and, I mean, given the gospel. and I'm and told that you're to go to the Gentiles, and you're so he was given a huge job, and it would be easy for him to exalt himself if not careful, because of the fact that Jesus literally appeared to him in a vision and told him what was going to happen. But in any event, we see that the answer to that particular prayer was no at the time. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Someone read verse 3, please.
Peter 1:3.
Yes.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
So one of the points that we made last week right before we closed was this. When we're talking about the difference between physical blessings and spiritual blessings are absolute. God is going to bless us spiritually. He's not going to say no to that. Anything that pertains to godliness, to anything that helps us in that way, he is not going to say no to us in that regard. So, I mean, those are things that we can pray for and know that God is going to supply us with what we need. Now, he may not take away the sickness that I have, that type of thing. He may not keep this country from having extremely hard times in the future. I mean, those are things we can ask for those things, and there's nothing wrong with us asking. But we have to understand that the spiritual blessings trump the physical blessings. And we just need to keep that in mind. So, look at Matthew chapter 16. And this is another example of there are things God puts ahead of our physical interests. If you look at Matthew 16, and we'll read verses 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Now, Peter, the only reason he's saying these things is because he loves Jesus. He don't want that to happen to him. But God understood why it had to happen. And in the same way, we can ask things sometimes and not be thinking like God would have us to think when we go into something. I mean, and so he sets Peter straight. He said, you're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's interest. And that's what we have to be careful about and pray for wisdom, that our interests align with God's all the time. That's what we need to be trying to train ourselves to do by looking at God's word and examining ourselves, examining our thoughts and desires, and are we in sync with what God's word says? That's what we need to be praying for. And I think one good way of praying too is the idea of praying for something, but God, let your will be done. That's what I want to happen. And we know Jesus prayed that. I wish this cup could be taken away from me, but not my will, but your will be done. So there was nothing wrong with him praying the prayer that he prayed. And the same is for us. So God knows that we don't understand everything. But we need to desire what God desires for us. So God knows what's best for us, and he answers our prayers based on what our real needs are, what is in our best interest. Every endeavor that we undertake should begin with prayer. Look in Romans chapter 1. Read verses 9 and 10. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request that perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. So again, we see that Paul is praying for them all the time, but praying that he might get to them, that he might preach the gospel to them. And that was his desire, was to get to Rome. So before he ever does the, before he ever makes the first move to Rome, that's what he's doing, is praying about this. Look in chapter 15. Starting at verse 30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be proved acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find a refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he's asking them, pray for me, because I'm getting ready to go to Judea right now. And pray that everything goes well. And we know that things didn't go altogether well when he was there. He got arrested, but he ended up in Rome anyway. But probably not the way he expected to go, hopefully. He knows what he was thinking. But before every endeavor, we should be praying to God. So physical blessings that we pray for, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Someone read that, please.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Praying for our bodily sustenance every day. Our daily physical needs. So we know that the physical needs are not as important as the spiritual, but that doesn't mean they're not important. So God has given us this body, and it's something that we should be doing every day, is praying that God takes care of us in this way. So that's one of the things. Verses 31 through 34 of this same chapter. Do not worry then, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about it. Go to God with it, is what he's telling us here. So, and he says, God knows you need all this stuff, and he's going to take care of it. But make sure that your major concern is his kingdom and his righteousness first. And so that's what he's telling us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Someone read verses 8 through 13, please.
You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. And we are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now.
What he's telling us to do is that we need to be completely dependent on God and trust him. And he's saying, you know, he says he writes all these things so that they might imitate him, but that we need to depend on God for in every circumstance. And again, we talked about this recently. We talked about it the last time I had a chance to speak, and we talked about steadfastness. And we should be the same as far as our dependence on God, whether we have plenty or nothing. In other words, circumstances should not dictate to us our dependence upon God. And in the Old Testament, I mean, that's why having plenty, much of the time, is a much harder problem for people, is because they have plenty and they think they don't think they need anything anymore. I don't need God anymore because I have everything I need. And so I think it, one of the reasons why he says it's easier for the poor is because it's easier for the poor to depend upon God because they don't have anything. And so that is part of what he's pointing out to us is that we need to depend upon God for our sustenance. Philippians chapter 4. Starting at verse 11. He says, not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and of suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Whether Paul was rich or poor, safe or unsafe, as far as his circumstances, he said that didn't change his outlook. I think that is, we talked about being steadfast, that is the key for us, is overcoming the world in this, that the world does not dictate to us anymore. That the circumstances that we face are just that, just little circumstances. If you know God is with you, then you're able to stay smooth throughout whatever the storm is. And it's not an easy thing. I mean, we saw Peter. I mean, he has to walk on the water to meet Jesus, and the storm's going and all this, and initially things go well, and then he looks around and he gets scared. And in the same way, all of us, if you know, I'll speak for myself, when circumstances get hard, it's easy to panic. And to think about what's going on around you instead of remembering that God is taking care of you. That's what we got to learn. Is to remember that. And I mean, that kind of faith, I think, only comes through a lot of study and continued prayer all the time, continuing to meet together all the time, strengthening each other in the Word. I mean, that's what this is about, is that we might grow in the faith, because at some point, unless we're just struck dead just like that, we're all going to face trouble. And many of us have here. What happens when that happens? That's when we find out whether we have real faith or not. And so this is the kind of thing that we have to depend upon God for. Number two, as far as physical blessings, health. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Again, this is what we just read a few minutes ago. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, he doesn't say there that he's going to say yes to everything he asked for. But he says here, but the peace of God, you'll have that. James chapter 4 and verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live, and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If the Lord wills, we're going to be well again if we're sick. I mean, we have to think about that. Confidence in God. Romans 8 and 28, and we touched on this a few minutes ago. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, it's all right again for us to ask, fervently pray for our health or for a loved one's health. But understand this, that no matter what the result of that is, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. I mean, we know Paul mentioned, you know, there was a time when he questioned, I don't know if I'm going to survive this or not. And if I don't survive, it's better if I don't survive, because then I go to heaven and be with God. And if I do survive this, then that gives me more work I can do for him. So, I mean, he looked at it as, I mean, either way, I'm going to be okay. That's the kind of faith that we have to have. And so, I mean, when we think about being sick, those type of things, again, think about Paul and his thorn in the flesh, too, as a good example. But we need to think more long term than right now. I mean, none of us want to be sick. None of us want our loved ones to be sick. I mean, that's all I do is think about this. But the fact of the matter is that we're all going to die. None of us know when. But we can die with the peace that God can give us. That's what we got to keep in mind. And anybody have any other comments or thoughts about that?
Brother Ryan, we talked about Paul in Philippians, the first chapter, verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. And then in verse 9 he says, and this I pray, that you love more, abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Now here Paul was in prison, but still he took joy in praying for his fellow Christians. And many times we depend too much on our prayer for ourselves, and yep, we forget about our fellow Christians. And he was praying for those even though he was in prison.
Right. And I do want to, here, I don't know if we'll get to it tonight or not, but we're going to talk about prayers intercession, where we get on the topic of praying for other people. So that's why I'm not getting into that as much right now. But you're right. That's a petition too. Is praying, you know, petitioning on behalf of a loved one or another Christian, or the government or you know that. But we'll talk about that when we talk about intercessions. But again, I think that you're right in that many times we're thinking too much about ourselves, even in our prayers. And again, if you think about the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that he talks about there is Lord, hallowed be thy name, and he prays for the kingdom. That should be our first priority in every prayer that we ask. Is our first priority should be that we're glorifying God, and that we're worried about his kingdom, which is what he came to this world to die for. Before any of this other stuff, that has to be our first concern. That's what we've got to train ourselves, is to think that's the most important thing first, and then we go down to the rest of this. Another thing that we can pray for, as far as physical blessings, material means to help others. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. I don't know if that's what I was wanting to get at. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing what is with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. So much of the time we're worried about making a living. But he's telling us here, he says, you know, you should be, it's okay to worry about making a living so that you can have something to help somebody else with. That's what we need to be praying for, that. So not just for, we're not praying for material means just for selfish reasons, in other words. I mean, and again, the idea of praying's part of this, and doing is part of this. I mean, so we need to, our lives need to be in alignment with our requests. Acts 20. Paul says here, he says, you yourselves know that these hands minister to my own needs and to the men who were with me. And everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said is more blessed to give than to receive. So praying that we can help other people, praying for worthy endeavors, and praying for money so we can help other people. That is what God wants us to, God, we all know that God expects us to take care of our families. He said if you won't do that, you're worse than an unbeliever. So you got to, I mean, that's so for all the men in here, if you've got a family, God expects us to work as hard as we can to take care of them. But praying that we can fulfill what God's commands are in our lives is what we need to be doing. Now, let's get into spiritual blessings that we should be praying for. And again, our need for spiritual blessings is absolute. Should be the focus of our prayers. This is where most of our concerns should be placed. And again, are we concerned about eternal life? I mean, this life is one thing, but the goal is to get to heaven. So that whatever spiritual needs that we have, that's the most important thing, because that's what's gonna help us get to where we want to be. First thing, we always have a continual need for forgiveness of sins. I mean, let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. He says here, "And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." Acts 8 and 22. He's talking to the one who offered to buy from Peter the ability to lay hands on people and give people the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 22, "Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." So when we sin against God, we should be going to God in prayer asking for forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 4. Someone read verses 14 through 16, please.
"Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast that confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin."
Read
16:2. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
So, when we do sin, those of us that are Christians can go to Christ, who is the great high priest, and he says he's one who can sympathize with our weaknesses. That although he was without sin, he was tempted in every way that we're being tempted. And he says, "Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." Look at 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. It says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." So, I mean, the goal is not to sin. But if we do sin, we can go to God in prayer. And that's what he's telling us. 1 and verse 7. Sorry, let me see here. Let's look at verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we're gonna at times have problems, but God has given us a way that we can go to him to get these taken care of. Another spiritual blessing is this, is the idea of the power to withstand temptation. the preventive power of prayer, in other words. Before we sin, we want to try to, like I said, the goal is to not sin. So when we're faced with temptation, God wants us to go to Him in prayer as well. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's look in chapter 26 and verse 41. Jesus tells them here in the garden, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So praying that God delivers us from the temptation, that He helps us to be strong enough to overcome it or to get away from it. You can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. No temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also so that you will be able to endure it. That's what we should be praying for. We hopefully take care of these issues on the front end so that we don't have to repent from sin if we succumb to the temptation. But God has covered these bases both ways. Go ahead.
Did you see how them two verses connected? Matthew 26:41,
1
Corinthians
10. Go ahead.
Said, watch and pray. If we keep our minds set, watching and praying, that is the way that we will keep from sin. It will keep us from being tempted to sin.
Help us to overcome it anyway.
Together,
yeah. And that's the thing. At times, if we allow ourselves to get lazy, we're not praying as we should. We're not studying as we should. We're not going to be as strong as we need to be. And I mean that's. And it's one of the reasons why we meet together, is to encourage each other, to strengthen each other in the faith, so that we can overcome things like this. There's no substitute for prayer here. It's part of what we have to do. Jude in verse 24, he says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. So, again, pray to God for this, that He's the one who's able to keep us from stumbling, keep us from sin. Another spiritual blessing that we can pray for, that we should be praying for, is wisdom. In other words, knowing what it is that God would have us to do. James chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So like we talked about before, these spiritual blessings are absolute. If you're praying for spiritual wisdom and you trust that God's going to give that to you, and you're studying, you're doing you're doing everything on your end, God is going to do what he's promised on his end. And we're going to get the wisdom that we need to get. But he says, but he must ask in faith without doubt. So there's a few things there that we have to do, but again, wisdom's an absolute requirement. If we're in the fight for truth and righteousness, if we don't know what God's word is, we can't be wise in it. So those are the things that we need to ask for. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. In verse 10, this is Solomon asking for wisdom. He says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this great people of yours? And God commended him for that and gave him the wisdom that he asked for. So we have an example here of literally praying for wisdom. Philippians chapter 1. verses 9 and 10. "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." So Paul here prayed that they might abound in real knowledge and discernment, which is, how do you use that knowledge? That's all. I mean, that's all. Wisdom is, how do you apply knowledge? So, I mean, I can know a lot of facts, and if I don't know how to apply them correctly, then, I mean, I might as well not know them. So, it's the idea of knowing what the Word says, and then having the knowledge to know how to use that knowledge appropriately. And that is so that we, why? So that we might approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. In other words, so we might know what to do, that we might know what right and wrong is, and do it. Strive in your prayers, study. I mean, when we talk about wisdom, strive in your prayers for it, study for it, put all your effort into it. That's what it requires. And God will help us. I'll stop at this point right here, and we'll pick up next week. Any questions or comments?